And our next presenter is John Bowman, deploying vegetable seed kits to tackle malnutrition in Cambodia, Kenya, Liberia, Tanzania, and Uganda.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. It's kind of a long title, but this was a very ambitious project done over four African countries and one Asian country, implemented by the World Vegetable Center, which is essentially a center of vegetable research excellence. This was not a research project. This was what we call a scaling project, where we were trying to essentially take technologies and push them out on a large scale. Our administrator at that point in time, which is this 2015 to 2018 period, was not real happy with our money pushing out technologies to high numbers of people in poor areas. So this was one of 10 projects that were designed to work on that aspect. So these are seed kits that are essentially the foundation of kind of backyard or home gardens for very poor farmers. The goal here is to reduce malnutrition for women and children, very poor women and children, through diet diversification, promoting production and consumption of vegetables, and also accelerating the production and the deployment of these actual seed kits. So we're all on the same page of what a World Veg Center seed kit is. Some of you may be familiar, others not. But essentially these are mini seed packets put together strategically to help poor families through a growing season of maybe anywhere from 3 to 5 months. They are a selection of different varieties. Research tells us what kind of seed kits to put into the package, which varieties to put into the package based on local conditions and local preferences. Generally, these seed kits only have 10 or 15 different species of vegetables or varieties. The plots are typically the basic seed kit plot size is 6x6, but they sometimes run up to a size of 10x10 meters. There's a mixture of what we call traditional indigenous vegetables, which are packed with micronutrients like amaranth, spider plant, nightshade. But we also always try to throw in some what we call global vegetables, which are like tomato, cabbage, carrot. These give the beneficiaries a better chance to be able to sell some of those in the marketplace at a pretty good price. So we want to combine the idea of the consumption of the traditional vegetables with possible income from surplus production on the so-called global vegetables. Getting down to more the specifics of this project, it's not just about pushing out seed kits, but we want to essentially raise awareness about the nutritional importance of vegetables to these poor people. We want to increase the availability and supply of vegetables through the seed kits. We want to build the capacity of the vulnerable groups to grow these vegetables. So this is essentially good agronomic practices applied to horticulture, but with the specific case of these nutrient-packed vegetables, just how to grow them. And then we want to accelerate behavior change among the vulnerable groups so that we can develop recipes, food processing techniques, so that the people can easily prepare the vegetables and make sure that their nutritional status is improved. Again, a very ambitious project. Three project sites in Tanzania, two in Kenya, two in Uganda, about seven sites in two high-priority AID counties in Liberia. And then we worked in four provinces in Cambodia with like about 50 different project sites. We used a randomized control trial approach to try to improve the quality of the analysis. Oftentimes, home garden projects are criticized that they're just too a little bit anecdotal and homespun. And we tried to put some better science on this by using RCTs. The problem there is that you have the randomization process is not really easy. So in every case, we had to do interviews. We had to randomly select 500 households and then do random selection of 250 intervention villages and then 250 non-intervention villages, which served as controls, And just trust me, it's very hard to do this in the context of way out in the boonies in a place like Liberia. We were actually able to do this RCT approach very, very carefully in only three of the countries. And when you do this, you measure parameters such as you do a baseline surveys and you ask them all about, you know, their household income, their assets, what vegetables are they producing currently, what vegetables are they consuming currently, what are their dietary preferences, and you do this by, like, recall methods, sometimes 7-hour recall, 24-hour recall, 1-month recall. And you also take data on decision-making, that intra-household decision-making. So who's making the decisions on food production in the household more? Is it the man or the wife? And why? Those questions are very important to get a baseline on, and then at the end of the project to see if some of these attitudes have changed. So the basic way this kind of activity is implemented is first you do the baseline interviews, which I just talked about, in the intervention and the non-intervention households, and you get essentially an assessment of current practices and preferences. Then you have to maybe spend 1 year or a little bit less of a year doing the actual research on what vegetables for that for those particular locations are you going to put into the kits. In some cases, the World Veg Center already knew, like in for some of the countries like Tanzania where they worked a lot, but they didn't work much in Liberia or Cambodia, some of these other places. So you have to do research on what's going to be the most effective vegetables to put in the seed kit for these local beneficiaries. Then you have to pick a village leader to champion the whole activity in the village. We call these the champions or the village leaders, and they essentially will then train. They serve as, it's a trainer of trainer model where master trainers of the whole seed kit technique are produced. So you essentially set up large-scale demo gardens. These aren't like seed kit gardens, but these are large-scale demo gardens with the village-level champions. And then you train master trainers. They become essentially these CBTs, or community-based trainers. And they go out and try to get neighbors and other people excited in the whole process. And they're the ones who have to do the really hard outreach work. And that's where all the scaling occurs, because each one of these community-based trainers maybe has to have a clientele of anywhere from, you know, 50 to 200 small farmers way out in the boondocks. As you do the scaling out of the seed kit model, then you also simultaneously do a sensitization campaign on good agricultural practices with vegetables, nutrition education, with all of your different local partners that are involved in the project. And then, essentially, you do these cascade trainings. That's where these CBTs go out, and they scale out the whole kit model. And at that point in time, when you're scaling out, you bring in, like, private sector seed companies, you bring in other NGOs like CARE, Save the Children, you bring in the government extension staff. They participate in the project as much as they want to. They take a look at it, or they roll their sleeves up, and they help with the scaling out process. It's all kind of up to them. This is very much a hub and spoke type model. So the hub is essentially this central demo garden, larger size demo garden that are run by these village level champion small farmers. And then you do all the interview process over again at 3 years, and then you can do your impact analysis. That's basically how the whole thing works. In terms of these really important sensitization activities, well, you're doing like village-level theater, you're sending out cars with big megaphone speakers all about the project, you're having the farmers as much as possible use cell phone applications, you do mass field days where you bring in local politicians, the mayors, you do cooking shows, you send out material and telling the villagers how to cook these vegetables properly so they don't lose the nutrient content, radio shows. And then this is essentially, you know, kind of an ag-based project, but you want to bring in maternal health clinics as well to get the full effect of, you know, an agriculture and nutrition linkage. Quick look at some of how these activities actually look. So these are some pictures of the actual larger-scale demonstration gardens that the village champions would lead, one in Bungoma, Kenya, another in Babati, Tanzania. And here's one of the farmer leaders in Cambodia and her demo gardens. In terms of the GAPs that were used, nothing really surprising. Good nursery management, raised beds, mulching, proper spacing, and soil and water management. IPM is very important to decrease toxic pesticides, harvesting techniques, nutrition education, and then giving them some help on marketing their if there's any product left over after they consume it, then they want to sell it, and giving them some advice on marketing. So some pictures of the various trainings, but the one I want you to focus on is in the upper right-hand corner. This, so the whole scaling process was basically based on bicycles. So these community-based trainers, you know, essentially it's AID paying these, purchasing and distributing hundreds of bicycles to these community-based trainers. That's kind of the really key to get the actual scaling. Results, outputs, you will see that this pretty high numbers here. The number of total demonstration plots with the champion kind of farmers, like over 1,000. Cascade training of community-based trainers, like almost 700. Bicycles, almost 400 purchased and distributed. The number of farmers actually trained, over 40,000. This is an aggregate, of course, of all the five countries. Actual seed kits produced and cranked out was 44,000. And the number of households benefiting from the entire experience, again, almost 40,000. Some of the households were able to plant these gardens twice a year. One real bright spot of the whole activity was that in three of the countries, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, the recipients liked the whole process so much that they decided it was worthwhile investing in the seed kits themselves. So they started to pay the project for the seed kits by year three. I think I forgot to mention this was supposed to be a five-year project, but we had to cut it back to 3 years. But by in three of those countries, in year three, the participants were actually paying a cost share on the seed kits. 2 minutes? Okay. So for actual, this is a Feed the Future funded project out of my program portfolio, which is essentially ag research. And anything out of Feed the Future, we have these formal indicators which any project around the world has to kind of adhere to. So in this case, like number of farmers who actually received training, the number of vulnerable households benefiting, number of farmers actually applying new technologies, and number of children reached. So you can see at the end of the day, all of these indicators, you know, were exceeded in terms of expectations over 100%. So we were pretty pleased by that. The most important challenges, difficulties in the project, water availability. We tried to make sure we chose farmers that could handle water stress problems in the hottest, driest parts of the year for that particular country. But we kind of failed in that. Maybe 20 to 25% of the farmers dropped out. It was just too tough. It was just too hot and dry. They couldn't get the water. Pests and diseases, we gave them all kinds of education on less toxic ways to handle pests and diseases, but still maybe 30% of the farmers, they couldn't get away from the temptation of toxic pesticides which were on the dealer shelf close by. Randomization trials were great to add a better level of science to it, but they really delayed some of the kickoffs of the projects quite a bit. And then most importantly, private sector commitment to the whole process was not as really good as we had hoped for. We didn't make a requirement, but behind the scenes, our hope was private sector commitment would really start to flow from this project. Quick pictures about when water was really tough to get, how they dealt with some of the problems. These are sack gardens. You've probably seen these in various countries you've worked in. And also these keyhole gardens that are essentially circular gardens with a keyhole access so the farmer can get in there and put food, trash, compost, fertilizer, organic manures down the central column and then water it very carefully and efficiently, and then the nutrients flow out to the rest of the garden. But you can really lower your water requirements if you build that keyhole garden effectively. Pardon? Okay. And then drip irrigation, of course, the most simple kind of drip you could imagine, like this in Uganda. Okay, I'll skip over this theory of change because it takes a little time to explain it. But again, the main weakness in the project was for sustainable vegetable seed supply feeding into the outcome of increased nutrition. This was the weak spot. We were trying to convince the private sector that it was worthwhile for them to invest in producing these seed kits locally. And that was
very tough.
And this shows that this is the World Vet Center. These are seed companies working closely with us. They hopefully produce local seed through contract growing. And then the local seed goes into agro dealerships. Then the agro dealerships sell these very small seed packets for poor farmers to thousands of poor farmers. But the private sector, the companies didn't really see how they could make a lot of money in this. These are the major conclusions. We met the targets. Sustainability was difficult. The scaling objectives were reached. And direct evidence-based impact on this. Some would criticize that we didn't do blood sampling, so how do we really know that these small farmers, the women and children, really improved their nutritional status? Many different partners. It was a complex project. If you want to read the 100-page final report, please contact me or my associate at the World Vet Center. Thank you very much.